Lovely to be here. Let's pray. Keep your Bible open there, Mark chapter 10. Let's pray, and we'll spend a bit of time thinking it through. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus, and Father, thanks for the joy of the Christmas season and being able to celebrate Jesus' arrival. As we look at your word today, as we read Mark's gospel, please help us to both understand and also celebrate the reasons that Jesus came into the world. Amen. Hey, last weekend, did you get everything you wanted? Because last weekend was the Black Friday weekend. So did you grab yourself a bargain or two? Black Friday, and then straight away after that, Cyber Monday, and then straight in to Christmas sales. It is peak shopping season right now. In America, because it's America, they've had stampedes and fights, and people have died in the rush to buy stuff on Black Friday. Now, we don't have any of that sort of thing going on here in Australia, of course. Here in Australia, we just have regret. Last weekend, here in Australia, we spent $7 billion. But according to a recent survey, 53% of us regret the stuff we buy on Black Friday. 52% of us spend more than we intend to. And get this, 48% of us buy stuff we don't even need. But that's me, right? Like, I feel like I've spent more money at JB Hi-Fi than I have on groceries in the last little while. It's peak consumerism. Me first, think later. We just want it all, don't we? We don't want to miss out. We're materialistic. Getting stuff for ourselves is pretty high on our priority list. All of which makes James and John, here in this part of Mark's gospel, pretty relatable guys. They're just on the lookout for a really good deal. They're on the lookout for a chance to get ahead of everyone else. But in this conversation that Jesus has with James and John, Jesus challenges them and calls out their attitude for what it really is. It's selfishness. It's self-centeredness. And as much as it might be the way that the world around us works, it's not how Jesus' kingdom works. It's not who Jesus is. It's not what Jesus came to do. Being part of Jesus' kingdom is in fact the opposite. It's not selfish and self-centered. Being part of Jesus' kingdom is being part of a kingdom that runs on selflessness and self-sacrifice. It's all about giving rather than getting. That's the point that Jesus wants us to really clearly understand from this part of Mark's gospel about why he came into the world. And this is what we're going to be doing in the lead up to Christmas. You can see there what's coming up. See, all through December, starting today, and all the way up to Christmas Day, we're going to look at some of the different parts of the Bible, and we're going to hear Jesus himself explain why he came into the world. We're going to hear Jesus himself explain why his birth is worth celebrating. This is Christmas according to Jesus. Here today in Mark chapter 10, Jesus is going to tell us that he came into the world not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. It's something that Jesus says in the context of this outrageously selfish demand from two of the disciples, James and John. So have a look at verse 35. This is where we started reading today. It says, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. This is an extraordinary thing to say to Jesus. Because we've sort of dived into the middle of the story here in Mark's gospel at chapter 10. But up to this point in the story, Jesus has been doing everything for everyone. He's been constantly inundated by people coming to him for help. Sick people. People with all sorts of problems. Earlier on in Mark's gospel, Jesus was at Capernaum and the whole town gathered at the door where Jesus was staying and he helped them late into the night. Not long after that, the crowds coming to Jesus were so huge, Mark says, He had no time to eat. Later on again, there were so many people pressing in to Jesus that he had to get in a boat and go out on a lake just to get enough breathing room to be able to talk to all of them at once. There was another time Jesus went out into the middle of nowhere specifically to get some time to rest and eat in peace, but the crowds found him and he had compassion on them and he welcomed them. Once he got up before dawn just to escape the crowds, they still found him. He didn't turn them away. Jesus has been selfless to the point of literally giving up sleep and food. Sacrificial and giving to the point of not even taking time to care for his own basic needs. And here's James and John. Hey, Jesus, give us whatever we want. They are selfish and self-centered, just jumping on the chance to get in and take what they can. Let's keep going. Verse 36. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" I reckon Jesus had every right to be pretty annoyed and cranky at them at this point, but notice he's very patient. He's patiently about to teach them something, even though they just double down on their selfishness. Verse 36, "What do you want me to do for you?" They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." Let's be really clear on what they're asking for here. They are asking Jesus, please and thank you, if they can be second in charge in ruling the universe. They are saying, we want just one small thing, please, Jesus. We want to have more power and authority and status. We want more influence, more command, more prestige, more honor, more glory, more fame, more celebrity, more applause, more of the spotlight than any other human who's ever lived, if that's okay with you, Jesus. Tell you what, you would never want to share a Christmas bonbon cracker with James or John. Because they would grab the middle and they would pull it so that they always get the toy in the crown. And then they'd probably cut in front of you in the line for Christmas lunch. This is an outrageously selfish thing for them to say. And yet Jesus really patiently gives them a clarifying answer. Verse 38. "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" That's not a tongue twister there. Jesus is saying they don't know what they're asking because the cup and the baptism Jesus is referring to, he's talking about his death. Jesus is going to be lifted up in glory, but it's going to be when he's lifted up on the cross. His crowning glory will be his suffering. It'll be when he's stripped naked and punched and spat on and people scream abuse in his face. That's his glory. It's when he dies by crucifixion. They don't know what they're asking. When Jesus dies, there will be someone on his right and someone on his left. And mercifully for James and John, it won't be them. It's going to be two criminals, humiliated in their misery. They don't know what they're asking. They think glory is power and influence, but Jesus says, no, no, in his kingdom, glory is helplessness and weakness. Jesus' glory is nothing like what they're imagining. Jesus is about to go to Jerusalem. He's about to up the ante on his suffering and his sacrifice for the sake of others. And here's James and John, and they're thinking about themselves and how all of this might pay off for their personal advantage. And Jesus wants them to see the disconnect between those two attitudes. He wants them to see his kingdom is not a kingdom of selfishness. It's a kingdom of selflessness. It's a kingdom of servants. Even though serving and missing out for the sake of others really cuts against our selfish instincts. You know, when we're missing out, that's when our heart rate spikes. That's certainly what happens for the other disciples. Look at verse 41. When the 10 heard this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." Jesus says, I get it, right? He gets why James and John are selfish. He understands why the others are upset. Jesus points out that's just the world we live in. The world we live in thinks like this. The world thinks that the more important you are, the more people you have serving you. Success is having an assistant and employees and money to pay other people to do stuff for you. That's what it means to be great, to demand service from others. That's the way the world thinks. It's just the air we breathe. I mean, that's why when the 10 other disciples heard James and John, their blood pressure went up because they didn't want to be servants of anyone, not James or John. Jesus says that sort of thinking is completely wrong for his kingdom. If you want to be great in Jesus' kingdom, then you become a servant. Verse 43. Jesus says, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." If you want to be great, then be last. In Jesus' kingdom, greatness is giving up your freedom for the sake of others. It's doing and giving and sacrificing. I don't want to gloss over the words that Jesus is using here. Servant, slave. Jesus isn't saying that you should go out of your way to do nice things just for your friends. He isn't saying do things for others just when you've got some spare time. I mean, of course, those things are great, those are good, but Jesus is pushing us much further than that. He doesn't use the word friend, he uses the word servant. And when he uses those words, servant and slave, he's saying his kingdom is the type of kingdom where people give up their freedom and even give up their life to serve others. And if you belong to Jesus' kingdom, the purpose of your life, it's not yourself. We are slaves of one another. A kingdom of servants led by a servant king. Verse 45. And this is where Jesus explicitly tells us why he came into this world. This is Christmas according to Jesus. According to Jesus, he came to be a servant. Verse 45. Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." From the moment Jesus arrived in the world as a baby in a manger, right from the start, the star and the wise men and the shepherds and the angels and all of that, from his first crying breath as a baby, Jesus came to serve. And we see it from these very first minutes in the world. He gave up the throne of heaven to enter the world as a weak and helpless baby. What were the words of the song we sung earlier? "Mild he lays his glory by." Totally dependent on a disgraced teenage mum in a tiny little village, not even born in proper accommodation, born in a shed in the smell and the muck of farm animals. He arrived not as a king to be praised or a celebrity to be adored or a commander to be saluted. He came into the world to serve. A few years ago, at the height of the COVID pandemic outbreak, the Duchess of Sweden, she's up on the screen there, she did an emergency 3-day nursing course so that she could go and work in a hospital as a cleaner, cleaning, disinfecting, just so that the nurses and doctors were freed up to treat patients. A royal, giving up her royal life, in fact even risking her life, to serve. for Jesus. It's why he came into the world. This is Christmas according to Jesus. He may be the king who made the stars. He is the one who sustains the universe by the power of his word. But he came with the unmistakable purpose of serving us by dying on a cross. Even though we didn't deserve that, even though we are selfish like James and John, even when we think about ourselves, when we put ourselves before others, when we even put ourselves before God, Jesus came to rescue us. How glorious is it to belong to Jesus who came not to be served by us, but to serve us, even though he is God's Son and God's appointed King. He came to serve us. It was his life's mission to die, to give his life to pay the ransom and pay the price of our sin so we can be forgiven. Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom of servants that arrives through the sacrifice of a servant king. And so for us who belong to Jesus, we don't breathe the air of selfishness. We breathe the air of a kingdom of selflessness. We are part of a kingdom where it's normal to clean up when everyone else is gone, when there's no one there to thank you for it or even to see you do it. We're part of a kingdom where it's normal to make meals for each other when it's needed. We're part of a kingdom where it's normal to miss out on hours of the cricket to have someone over for lunch or for dinner. We're part of a kingdom where it's normal to give up a week of your summer holidays to be part of the Summerfest team. We're part of a kingdom where it's normal to have fewer presents under the tree because we've given our money away to our gospel partners. We're part of a kingdom where it's normal to wear ourselves out for the sake of others and think of ourselves as servants of one another and slaves to all. If you do those kinds of things, then there's every chance you're pretty tired, possibly irritated sometimes. It's more than an inconvenience. It costs you. If you do those sort of things, please be encouraged by Jesus' words here, because according to Jesus, this is greatness. I don't know if you know who the greatest climber of Mount Everest is, the person who's climbed it the most times. It's not Sir Edmund Hillary, although he did it first. It's not the famous mountaineer Reinhold Messner. They say Reinhold Messner used to climb mountains like gravity was a suggestion. It's not Bear Grylls. It's Kami Rita. He's a Sherpa. His job is carrying other people's food and carrying other people's tents and their safety gear. And so he does this dangerous, back-breaking climb over and over and over. He puts his body through extreme cold, oxygen deprivation. He risks his life to serve others. The greatest climber of Everest, and if he didn't have a Wikipedia page, I wouldn't even know his name. He has become the greatest climber of Everest of all time by carrying other people's stuff. Very much like being part of Jesus' kingdom, where greatness comes from serving others. It's not showy, it's not impressive, except to Jesus, because it shows that we understand what kind of kingdom we're part of. Because even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. I'll pray. Father, thank you that Jesus came to serve us by giving his life to save us from our selfish sin. Thanks that he gave everything for us to bring us into his kingdom, even though we don't deserve it. Please, Father, because we belong to a servant king, please may we serve one another the way he has served us. Amen.